Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Smashy Business Show. I'm Wert Ahmed.
And I'm Abdul Majid.
And it is the 17th of January today. We are at the end of the week. How are you feeling?
I just realized we're both wearing black.
Oh!
I just saw the monitor. And there they go, black.
Okay, we're aligned today. We're aligned.
Yeah, and it wasn't a very boring day yesterday as well.
Oh.
It's been a very eventful week as in terms of news.
Yeah.
But not really in personal life. Everything
not a personal
is
life?
Yeah.
Nothing. Really? You know, Majid, it's not a personal life, but a tea life for me. Can I tell you something about myself? For me, the most important part of my day, it's not even getting in like my social life. It's actually having my tea with biscuits. I love tea. No, I mean it. I love tea. And it's like, I know that's like such a random topic for a Friday morning. But the most, you know, when I'm at work and like I'm just craving the warmth of my home and being home with my family, you know what I'm thinking about? My cup of tea. Even yesterday, I actually went to Valk Cinema. You know, we were collaborating with them. And you know what was going on in my mind the entire time? I can't wait till I have my cup of milk tea when I come home with my digestive chocolate biscuits. I didn't end up having it because I got home a bit late. So I just ended up, I ended up going to sleep immediately. And I woke up in the morning and I made it. And let me tell you, the happiness that it gave me. I'm in such a good mood, and tea is so good. Like, oh my, just sitting alone, getting your tea out, getting your biscuits out, and I feel like, honestly, the people watching are probably like, she's such a grandma. Like, that's what she enjoys doing. No, seriously, I mean it. Like, you know, Majid, I've never been one of those people who enjoys going to parties. Parties, gathering, I don't enjoy that. I would much rather have my cup of tea with my digestive chocolate biscuits. And it's by the way, it's a very specific cup of tea. And it's funny because I remember I went over to my grandparents' house. I hadn't visited them in a while. And they were like, Ward, like, you know, what tea do you want? Just context, my grandparents are based in Abu Dhabi, but I was sitting with them. They were like, what tea do you want? And you know what I said, Majid? I was like, can I please have a cup of red tea with hale, with cloves, and with mint, please? And they were like, girl, that is such a specific order. Oh, and with cinnamon sticks, please, too. Yeah, I love my tea. No, nice. Really. I think my mom influenced me. Like, she did something there. But, you know what I was
tea
thinking about?
Tea is a big business also.
I love tea.
Yeah.
I love tea
it's
so
like
much.
One of the biggest exports, like, it's the biggest export from Kenya. A lot of African countries, which are like greener African countries. Kenya has one of the biggest markets.
Yeah.
And Sri Lanka also apparently has a very big market because a lot of my friends who went to Sri Lanka, usually they go there and they buy a small tea plantation and they plant it and all that.
That's nice.
So it's kind of an experience that you have.
Have you gone to TWG?
No.
Oh my God, Majid, their tea options that they offer. You know, they have, obviously they offer the normal options like English tea, all that good stuff, but they have stuff that's like caramel tea, vanilla bourbon tea, New York tea, India tea, and they like, and Moroccan tea, and I cannot even describe it to you. It is so many, jasmine queen tea. Yeah, I am well versed in everything tea.
Nice.
Tea's, I truly believe tea is like the love of my life. I would never replace her for everything, for anything. But no,
we should
TWG
do a story on UAE and tea.
We should.
The
Karak
is a phenomenon here. It has a whole economy. It's part of one economy.
Wait,
you can
recently
get it for 1 dirham. You can get it for 30 dirhams.
30 dirhams?
Yeah, there's like expensive Karak.
Where is that?
There's a gold something. I saw a restaurant story that they gave a gold like the gold paper karak for some 1500 dirhams or something. So yeah, karak is a phenomenon in this region and it has a long business life. You can do probably a PTC or FTC about it.
No,
it's
this
a very
is
interesting
crazy
topic. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Because you know, for me, there's this one karak place I've been going to since I was like a kid with my dad because my dad loves karak. It's my favorite part of South Asian culture. Honestly, what you guys have created, man, some really good tea.
Yeah.
But basically, it's a shop. It's in Al Hudaybah. I forgot the shop's name because I go with my dad and I don't get down. He does. But point is that, what's it called? It was one dirham. It's one dirham if you get up and go get it yourself. If the guy does come to your car, it's two dirhams. And Majid, it's such good tea that, you know, I see cars like parked there. Bro, the plate says Saudi Arabia. What? And I remember looking at my dad. I'm like, Dad, he came all the way from Saudi Arabia for this qadak. And then my dad went to speak to him, and they had a good laugh. And my dad told him what I said, and he was like, man, it's just really good qadak here. Imagine, he drove all the way from Saudi to Dubai, Al Hudaybah, just to get this qadak. That is, but honestly, no, I get it. I do get it.
A lot of people who come, like one of my wife's friend, she, her husband, and the three kids, they whenever come from Saudi, they come by car. And yeah, whenever they come, they're like, we need karak. And I'm like, okay, you get it in Saudi.
So
they're
bad.
Like, no, they don't make it like UAE.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a phenomenon. So
it's
yeah,
so
people
good.
Who come here by road or even when they travel here, they'll love to.
It's
get
so
a piece
so
of the
good.
Karak.
No, really, yeah. It's such a honestly, like, you know, Majid, this is why I love South Asian culture so much. Really, the tea that you guys have, it's insane. Just, you know, just recently, I had a friend who went to Kerala in India, and they brought me back this tea in this box. It had this like elephant on it. Oh my God, Majid, it was such good tea. It was amazing tea, like, But anyways, enough conversation. Let's get to our topics for today. Our first one, it's a really big one. It's everyone's favorite player, honestly, is what I would say. Ronaldo has just renewed his contract with Al Nassr, but not only that, even something more special. He has been offered 5% ownership of the club. This is big news. This is crazy news in the football world. What this is telling us is that he's not going away from Saudi Arabia anytime soon. He's staying.
And they are not letting him go. So they are offering him whatever they can. Obviously, they offered him a lot of money. It's 178 or 187, I forgot. But we were talking about it, and it's like 550,000 euros a day. So
we say that again?
Yeah, half a million a day. For the next
half
year.
$500,000?
The whole contract for the year that he signed, it's $500,000 per day. Not dollars, euros per day. It's like euro is more than that.
A day.
Yeah.
A day.
So 183 million is the whole contract. Apparently, there's a Spanish publication, Marca. It's very big in football and across the board as well. And then the Mirror also reported it that the contract negotiations. He signed up for 183 million euros for the year, for 1 year that he signed the contract. And reportedly, they're also offering him 5% of the company. Obviously, see, my like opinion on this is very simple. If I was such a big star as Ronaldo, and I went to a league, and that league, it was already there. The Saudi Pro League has a 50, 60-year-old history. It's not that it's just started, but Ronaldo put it on the map. So for a person who put it on the map, put it everywhere, this money is nothing, to be honest. For them, paying him to stay, because if he goes, to be honest, the idea is that Ronaldo came, Saudi Pro League became bigger, all the other stars followed in his footsteps, and then if he goes away, to be honest, the media will have a field day with Saudi Pro League. That they brought the biggest star, but then the biggest star left. So that is why they'll try to do everything to keep him. And to be honest, Ronaldo right now, at this point of his career, where he's nearing his end, like it's like 2 or 3 more years where he'll play, he will go into business. He wants to become a football owner. Manager, I don't think. He most probably will own a club. And getting 5% stake in the club, which he put on the map, it's the best thing.
That's crazy. And then and him having that stake, what that means is not only does he have ownership of the club itself, but he can gear them towards certain decisions. And I find that so interesting. But other than that, you know, with Ronaldo, what I love the most about this man, Majid, is that this man, he honestly, I'm really sorry about that, he goes after his passions. You know, I remember I once heard him saying that, you know, the day that I don't enjoy playing football anymore, yeah. that's the day that I will stop playing football. That's what's so amazing about him. It's that, you know, he has a vision and he's going to execute it. And honestly, like, you know, I'll never forget watching his games ever since I was a kid with my dad, Majid. My dad is like hardcore Real Madrid, and I was Barcelona. I think it was the fact that I just liked the blue color at that time. But point is that I watched his games, and this is a person who, the reason why they have this career, the reason why they're being paid 500,000 euros a day by Al Nassr is because of the fact that his dedication, yeah. you know, the amount of dedication that he has, you know, something that I always believe is that you can have natural talent. You can absolutely have natural talent, but what's going to take you far is the amount of work that you put in, the amount of dedication that you put in. And that's what Ronaldo has done throughout his career. Constant dedication, constant work. And it's, you know, to me personally, you know, don't get offended if you don't agree with me, but to me, one of the greatest players I've ever seen play is Neymar. I truly think it's Neymar. And I think it's Neymar. Even like, watch Neymar play. When he actually plays, like, look at that footwork. His footwork is insane. Everything, he makes football look like an art. And
that's,
I get
what all Brazilians did. But I guess you were not in the era of Ronaldinho. You would have never talked about Neymar. Like, best magician with the ball in the world. Mm. I'm not talking about football skills, goal scoring skills, yeah. but the best person who had like magic in his feet to ever touch the ball was Ronaldinho. Again, opinion.
And I saw his videos. No, really. I saw the videos of him playing, yeah. but I think for like our current century, yeah. our current generation, seeing Neymar play,
is the new
especially
thing, yeah.
when he was with Barcelona, when he was playing yeah. with Messi and Suarez, it was, oh, imagine, it was so good. Just seeing the way he would, it was crazy. I have no description for it. To me, it was personally art. But I think with Neymar, you know what happened? I think it was the fact that he's just a natural talent.
Yeah.
To me, Neymar is a natural talent. And although he has had such a great career, no, really, he's had such a great career and it's been successful,
yeah.
I still think he never reached his full potential.
Yeah.
Because to me, he could have earned the title of best player in the world. But I think the reason why Ronaldo overtook him in that sense is because of his discipline, because of his rigor. Ronaldo, he's so disciplined. He's so yeah. disciplined. I mean, come on. They offered him 5% stake. And by the way, he didn't buy it. You know, Magic just told yeah. me this. He didn't buy that 5% stake. Al Nassr offered him that 5% stake. So for him to, you know, receive such an accomplishment, I mean, wow. That speaks a lot about him.
That's the main thing. See, if you, we were all also talking about in the morning that sometimes some founders are bigger than the product that they create. And sometimes the products are bigger than the founder. And sometimes, very rarely, it happens that both of them become the biggest thing. For example, Steve Jobs and Apple, same category. Apple is one of the biggest products in the last,
yeah.
30, 40 years, whatever we've seen yeah. whenever it started. And Steve Jobs is one of the persons, like most revered businessman, marketing person, salesperson, the idea person. We've seen. So very rarely it happens. With Ronaldo, the thing is that Al Nassr has a history. In Saudi Arabia, Al Nassr has a history. Al Ittihad, Al Hilal, all the big five,
yeah.
six clubs, they have history. So they are already a product in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But Ronaldo came and made them global, international products.
Yes.
Now that everyone starts looking at them. So for me, it's a very good combination, and I don't think he's leaving. That's the main idea I get.
He's definitely not leaving.
Even if he wants to leave, they will create an environment, a very good environment.
Mm.
Likewise, 5% stake, this, that. Most probably, he'll get a stake in the whole league as well. Or maybe he gets a big position in the league. Or maybe he gets something. They will keep him because, trust me, he was the guy who opened the door. So if he leaves, trust me, the whole media world, they want to find a reason to bash Saudi Arabia or the Middle Eastern countries.
Of course.
They'll use human rights records. They'll use terms like sports washing, green washing, this washing, that washing. Their own countries are doing it. But for our Middle Eastern countries, they'll always try to lead with that idea. So Ronaldo leaving is like Saudi Pro League going back to the old days where no one cares about it.
Our Middle Eastern countries.
Apart from the Saudis. Saudis love their football. So that's the main thing. That is why they want him to stay.
Just like putting the, you know, the league aside, him choosing to stay in Saudi. I mean, it's not just a win for them, but it's a win for him too. I mean, we're seeing what's happening in Saudi. 2034, they're going to have the World Cup. You know, they have the upcoming NEOM project, which will hopefully be completed. That's, you know, worth over $1 trillion. I mean, Saudi has become a gold mine, and it's a gold mine in everything.
Yeah.
It's a gold mine in sports, you know, in infrastructure projects, in oil. They have Saudi Aramco, you know, the largest oil exporter. I mean, it's such a smart decision on his part too, and not just that. I think Al Nassr, the decisions that they've been making. I mean, you make such a valid point of saying that he opened the door for them, but in the end of the day, it's all about the decisions that Al Nassr has made. You know, Al Nassr, they chose Ronaldo. That's an amazing decision. But just very recently too, they actually appointed a new CEO. His name is Majid Al Jaman, who actually used to play for Al Nassr from 1988 to 1994, I believe. But the reason why I speak of this new CEO that they've appointed is because of the fact that, you know, he's actually had really big roles in Saudi Arabia. He used to be an advisor for Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, Majid. And he also used to be the CEO of the Saudi Gulf Federation. And even more interesting, he was also a part of Gulf Saudi, and he was a part of LIV. So it's they're bringing experienced people in. They're making really smart decisions. And I think that's what's so amazing, because you know who I'm feeling really bad for right now, though? Al Hilal. I feel really bad for them. Imagine, the decision that they made was that they took in Neymar. But look at this. Neymar only plays for 42 minutes and receives over $100 million. Imagine you take a player, they play for 42 minutes, they get injured, and you give them over $100 million. And if you break the contract, what happens? You're going to pay them more. So I think in this case, when you take a look at the Saudi clubs, I think that's why Al Nassr is so lucky. Not only did they choose an international player that is so dear to so many people's hearts, but they chose an international player that is disciplined, that is reliable. And
No, Neymar, though. The only thing I can say about him, he's never been consistent. I never liked him because of that fact. Ronaldo, everyone loves him for the hard work he's put in. And Messi, born with talent. So the main idea, again, is don't let Ronaldo go. Even if you have to offer the full club to him, tell him to buy something also. 5%, we gift you 5%, buy it. Become a board member of the club. So mainly, see, the idea is the Saudi Pro League. It's business. Yeah. Sports is business. Saudi Pro League is business. PIF came in when Ronaldo came in. They took care of the five clubs. Now PIF backed five clubs are doing good. Obviously, that's also the good part. Other clubs are trying to like live up to the expectations as well. The league will grow. Is growing. The only thing that I find interesting, or I'm looking forward to, is who will come and join Ronaldo for this year of football. He wants good teammates because he wants to win the cup at least once. He wants to win the league at least once. He's a winner. He hates coming third or second. So that's the main idea that I'm looking forward to in footballing terms. In business terms, he's getting the money. He's enjoying life.
He is enjoying life.
Right now, with the world talking about UAE, Middle East, Saudi Arabia, all these places growing and becoming the safest places, they're already the safest places right now in the world. According to me, at least. But him enjoying life without any restrictions, enjoying the safety. Saudi tourism is so much like better than like 10 years before.
Yeah.
So he has everything. And he can travel anywhere. So
for
a holiday, he can always go wherever he wants, but he always comes to Saudi. So that's the good part.
Yes. And for our second topic of the day, now next week, Monday, Trump is going into power. He is finally going into his second term. It's finally happening. But how is this actually going to impact the Middle East? And how is it specifically going to impact Saudi Arabia? this is what we're going to tell you. Now, let me tell you about the, you know, the key highlights between Saudi and the U.S.'s relationship. Bless you. So Saudi Arabia's public investment fund actually holds stake in major U.S. companies like Uber, Meta, and Lucid Motors in terms of energy investments. The kingdom actually owns the largest U.S. refinery in Port Arthur, Texas, and has deep-rooted trade connections there. And finally, a substantial portion of U.S. exports to Saudi Arabia actually compromises defense equipment. So from this, we can see that Saudi Arabia, it already has a relationship with Trump. They have a really strong relationship going on there.
I remember the very first time Trump became president, the very first foreign visit was Saudi Arabia. And it was it was very interesting for a lot of people. Everyone was taken back by the decision. But I remember correctly, he came back with nearly a $3 billion contract of like defense material, like jet aircraft, blah, blah, blah. So that's the idea of Trump. He is a businessman at heart. Politician, he is like a secondary or a tertiary level. On the primary level, the best, like the deepest level, he's a businessman. And he loves Saudi Arabia because they are spending. They're spending throughout the world, and they just bought Heathrow Airport stake. They've done so much in America that he knows that these are the money makers right now, and I need to be in good terms with them. The only problem is that the promises that he made during his election campaign, he also has to live up to them. And those promises eventually affect the business relationship with a lot of countries.
Magic.
A lot of promises that I'll increase the tariffs. He wants to stabilize the dollar. He wants to make the dollars stable. For that, he'll have to put taxes on everything. So everyone deals with them, pays more tax to come in and sell in the country. So that way, obviously, Saudi will keep exporting their stuff to the U.S., UAE will keep exporting their stuff. The whole of Europe will keep exporting their stuff to U.S. So for him, the idea was that whoever wants to come and sell in my country, I'll put more taxes on you and then take that tax and make my countrymen or the people who voted for me and who didn't even vote for me, make their lives better. The MAGA theory, make America great again. So that is his idea. But if he implements it, obviously, he'll have to kill the business dealings that he has with all these countries on the personal level and political level as well.
And we saw
it's going to be really tricky for him. The first time he came, no one had any expectations from him. They're like, oh, he'll just stay 4 years. He won't know what to do. He did a lot. But then he left, and now this time everyone is looking at him and they're like, okay, what will you do this time?
You're right. And you know what? He has to tread really carefully with Middle Eastern leaders, especially because of what we saw happened with Qatar. So essentially what happened with Qatar is that they were selling liquefied natural gas to the European Union. But what the European Union was doing was that if you were producing anything that's not using sustainable practices, a 5% tax was applied to you. But it was very ironic considering the fact that the European Union was actually purchasing that gas from Qatar. And what ended up actually happening is that Qatar actually spoke out against this and that, you know, don't buy it if you're going to be taxing us on it. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Trump does, how he, you know, divides this up, what he's going to do with the Middle East. But it's so funny that you mentioned that his first visit was to Saudi Arabia, Majid, because remember that video that went up on Smashy Business that I did where Trump was basically, he was showing this business plan
to the
Saudi prince, and he was like, this is peanuts for you.
Yeah.
This is peanuts for you. And honestly, it's no surprise that he made them his first visit because of the amount of wealth, the amount of capital that's in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. When you really deep it, like me and my friends were talking about it yesterday, like Saudi Arabian money, that's a different kind of wealth. But anyways, for our last topic of the day, the Saudi Central Bank has just announced a partnership with Google, and they're going to be launching Google Pay in Saudi Arabia in 2025. Now, I see this topic as no surprise because just recently in the FII 8 summit in Riyadh, we saw how many tech leaders from the U.S. came to Saudi Arabia, you know, Apple CEO, Tim Cook, you know, the Facebook CEO, she was there. They were all there. Yeah. So, and even next year, oh, we are in this year. We are in 2025. So I'm still living in 2024, yeah. by the way. So this year, actually, TikTok is going to open its regional headquarters in Saudi Arabia. So a lot of these tech giants, they're coming there and they're seeing the opportunity there. And I see that as no surprise whatsoever.
Yeah. The main thing is they're getting another payment option. Apple Pay is there already, I guess. And now Google Pay is coming. Yesterday, I read a report. Today on our social media, you can see I'll do a video on that. They're planning to move away from money. So they're going cashless around 70%. That's the target. So 70% of Saudi Arabia and 80% of UAE, they're trying to get cashless by the end of this decade. Let's see.
Let's see what happens. Yeah. And have a lovely weekend, everyone. It's Friday. Enjoy your weekend. Rest well. This is Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production under the Augustus Media Podcast Network. You can find our newsletter on Smashy TV and make sure to follow us on all our channels. Thank you so much for watching. Have a lovely weekend.